We're still worshiping. And those that are wherever you're at, if you're around the front, you want to sit in the front. We're still worshiping, but worship team, you can have a seat quietly. We can all just, as I feel him transitioning a little bit here, some things he wants to say. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is the gateway to all future success in my spirit, says the Spirit of grace. When I said not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, that's exactly what I meant. Programs, an agenda, a schedule will not bring in the masses. You'll not be able to attract them with anything less than the fullness of my anointing, says the Spirit of grace. This is why the creation of an atmosphere in this place is absolutely the most important part of the entire service. Yes. Maholokate. Yes. Maholesetete. I heard him say this that might be disputed among some, but that's okay. This part exceeds my word, the ministry of my word. Because if I'm not able to come and create an atmosphere for the hearer to hear, then those things which will be said even by the greatest of teachers will only come to a place in those that are listening to a certain level, mostly by the masses received intellectually, never touching the good ground of the heart. Maholesete. Yes, sir. So let this be a good teaching and warning to the teacher. That includes me. To all those who present, you're not just participants, as in coming to a church service, but you are ministers. Even those, he said, I hear him saying, those online watching, you're creating an anointing where you're at, and you're creating an anointing here in the cradle, in the place of nativity where things are being birthed. Sow to the Spirit, and you will of the Spirit reap a great harvest, says the Spirit of the Lord. Prepare yourselves as priests. I saw this in a moment, just now. I saw the priest preparing himself and all the oracles that he had to do to get ready, the washings, the robe, everything, the girdle, the breastplate, the Urim and Thurims, all of that that had to be, the headdress, everything. I just saw that in a moment. The Lord said, you're just as those, the priest, the high priest, to come before my presence. Everything that he did, the high priest, to go into the holies of holies, did not just take just a moment in time. It was a deliberate preparing. It was a deliberate preparing. I'll step out of just now for a moment, out of thus saith, into prophetic exhortation, because I can better say it that way, what I saw. I really had no intention on this, of course. But your preparation as high priest, male and female, coming in to the place where we're calling a revival. Yours, if you don't take it serious now, you never will. How important you are and your significance. It's the same level of the Old Testament priest, how important it was for him to get ready with absolute perfection. And I'm not asking you, and he's not asking you, to any of these things to be applicable to the flesh, but the presence of, or your understanding of being ready to come in and create an atmosphere. And I can tell you this. This is void of anything like a pastor's exhortation to. Because I saw that when I was prophesying, just that vision for a moment. Help me, Jesus. Your being here, coming here, as best as you can, or coming to that place of tuning in as best as you can, already prepared. The office of the priesthood and worship and atmosphere is not created here. It's created before. Where do you start this? You start it at home. You start it on Saturday nights. You start saying, I'm more than what I see myself. I'm significant to His kingdom. I'm a part of whatever is being taught and said, and the harvest. I'm creating that. You don't stay up late on Saturday night. You say, well, this is too far reaching. You're reaching into personal. No, this is for revivalists. I don't care what you do with it. It's okay. And they're not talking about heaven. I'm talking about what He's saying about you coming. You come prepared, saying, I've got a destiny. I've got to put on my priestly garments and go and create. You don't sleep to the last minute on Sunday mornings and pop in a secular movie or listen to a secular song coming to church, or gorge yourself with hotcakes and bacon so you're nodding off and you're under some kind of sugar coma during the church service. You're coming in as high priest, prepared with garments, and saying, can you hear the tingling of the bells on my garment? Because I'm coming here already full. I'm going to add to whatever pastor's doing, whatever the elders are doing. I'm coming here already full. I'm a priestess. I'm a priest. I've washed my hands. I've cleansed myself. I don't just pop up and go run, do something. Check that off. I did that. Okay, now I can go on with God. No. We're going into a place we've never been before. Only priest and only priestess can go to that place and create this atmosphere. And God just told us this atmosphere is more important than any word, any line-on-line scripture that can be taught. Because if this is not done, then there will only be an anesthetical presence to teach the word under, and people will come and they'll hear it and there'll be a revolving door because it made no place inside of them. I got with my worship team this morning. I said, I said, you have no idea who you're touching. I thank you so much. I cannot help but thank you so much. But I'm also asking for a greater commitment. For this is the time This is the season. Do not say yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. But look upon the fields, they're ripe already into harvest, says the Spirit of the Lord. Everything that I want to do, whether a youth in the days ahead, young adults, conferences, present tense, by the way, you know it has to be birthed in the Spirit. I appreciate all these people coming and worshiping around the altar, whether you're here or out there. But you're creating an atmosphere. Now, I'll preface what I'm about to say, because it's just life. You got to live life. We're not putting anybody in a straitjacket. But you're going to a different church. We're weirdos in comparison to the way that most churches think. No, we're not weirdos. We're just committed. We're not overcommitted. Boy, you're asking for a lot. No, this is just kingdom of God stuff. Kingdom of God stuff. I'm just saying, look, if you're going to be a part of this worship team and others, please, please devote your Sundays. Devote yourself. What does that mean to you and you and the masses? Well, we're not going to go through the dictates of something just to try to say we're spiritual. In other words, keep you past a certain hour on the clock. But listen, here's the deal. Here's where we are, because God already came to me. He said, look, you're going to start having longer altar services. Longer altar services. More ministry. And even if it's not ministry, like, well, how many times can you minister to the crowd that you've got? I don't know. Not so much redundance of the crowd that's in here, but altar services ministering to the thousands on that camera. So I would say, pencil in. Get a good pencil and pencil in your schedules on Sunday, because we all have things. And I mean, family comes in. I've got family here today. They've got family that came in, and they made sure they're here for this service. But I know that they've got to, you know, it's just, that's an example. They can't stay past a certain hour, because other people that are not born again, they're going to go witness to them through their love. That's just an example. But ordinarily, buy a good crock pot or something. Don't make, well, it's so-and-so's birthday. Can't they have a birthday on Saturday? Well, it's on Sunday. Can't they have it on Monday? It's our anniversary. Candy and I, well, no, I won't go there. Listen, pencil in so you can, because a pencil has an eraser, you can erase it. Don't schedule things right close to service, because I'm telling you, if you're going to go with us, we're not going to be conscious. So here's the deal. What about schedules and things? What about the ladies working? Boy, I wish Davey and Amber, I wish you guys could have been here on a Sunday night when Miss Barbara Unland stood up and come up here. There was nobody here, but she had to say it. I wish I'd have had it. And she exhorted on how important those ladies are and what they're doing with our kids. Absolutely what they're doing with our kids. Because she talked about, as a young girl, the influence that had come on her life. And how that she came into a church on her own and began to lay hands on everything, and how the power of God came as a result of it. And God began to do what he did. Nobody was there in the church, but somebody was sowing in. If our services go long, go relieve these ladies, because they can't take it all day. That's just one thing, but listen, you might as well get ready. Some of you, it's hard right now. You're under a fight. You're under a fight in the service. But I'm telling you, we're going someplace. We're going someplace. This is the only thing this anointing that right here, this right here, and that out there is the only thing that's going to save some of your marriages. It's the only thing that's going to save some of your lives. You can engage in it and allow the Holy Spirit to touch your life and begin to dispel the darkness. Or you can repel from it and say, no, no, it's a commitment that I'm not ready. Jesus. So we're not going to try to be overly spiritual. We're just going to be spiritual. If we don't have a break, that's okay. Come up like you always do and say, it's daddy's birthday or sister's birthday. It's okay after something. But listen, if we forget those things, that's not the kind of church we are. My job is this. If I don't go in far enough to the Spirit in depth, that I cannot just almost forget anything that you could tell me in the natural, then I haven't gone in far enough. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Thank you. So our services will be geared, my lochalesete, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makarasa. Some of you are really pressing in because God's given you a revelation, and you know who I'm talking to. A revelation on how important worship is, corporate and private. Stay at it. Stay at it. You're helping us bring this presence. Hallelujah. For you to see, all of you to see, and those that you're watching because you're part of this, how much, and I never thought about coming, standing here exhorting about priesthood or priestess this morning, but to understand how important you are and to know the effect that you're creating, not only here but worldwide, and the people that are watching and the significance that you're having. So vitally important. So vitally important that you know. Hallelujah. Yesterday was really incredible, and you were a part of it. You didn't know you were a part of it, but you were, and you were a part of it. You didn't know. But it's the expanse of what God is doing here and God is doing worldwide. And every day that I live, it gets a little bit more incredible. There was three men that came to my house yesterday, and I knew they were coming. They were all Brazilians, and they were scheduled for a couple of months to come. And last year, a friend of mine, Alan Taylor, asked me to help him and Gary Carpenter carry on a legacy that Pastor Dave had started with the Brazilian nation many years ago. And we've been doing that on a weekly teaching. And there's a conference coming up starting Monday. Again, please pray. I've asked many of you to be a part of being there and praying for that. But someone in that is very significant in that ministry there in Brazil contacted these men. And the most amazing part was they showed up at my house around 2 2 p.m., and I expected them to be there around that time, and they showed up just a bit early, which is great. But they just wanted to talk to me, and they wanted to talk to me about God and about just their life and going forward and what God was doing, and but other things that they wanted to receive from the Lord. One came down from Atlanta, and he drove all the way from Atlanta, he and his wife. What's that, 9 hours? All the way from Atlanta just to come to Immokalee. One drove from, here was the amazing part, as I welcomed them in, and Candy was taking a nap, and there was just us men, and you know, you've got two Brazilians that speak pretty good English, real good English, and then one mostly Portuguese and then English. And I invited them all in. One got there just a few minutes behind. They had all, here's the significance. One came down from Atlanta. One was from Orlando. And one was from Miami. And prior to them coming to Immokalee, and for that purpose, although they were Brazilians, once I began to sit in there and talk to them and try to break the ice, none of these men knew each other. They weren't friends before. They weren't acquaintances in Brazil or any other place, and they were all very successful men. One was an IT man from Miami, and another one was in Orlando for the purposes of a conference there, selling, just integrating himself with other men that have a like business. And another one was a businessman from Atlanta. But as I sit there and I begin to try to know the mind of Christ and listen to the mind of Christ while they were there, because God always has a reason other than what we understand in the natural. And so, you know, for the first hour, you're just breaking the ice. And then I went back in my office with them, and, you know, coffee, cookies, you know, that's the breaking ice. And so we're talking. But then the mind of Christ began to come, and each one of them began to share, and we began to have an opportunity to minister to the. I began to have the opportunity to minister to these men. But these men are watching, the ones that speak English, or at least one of them, watching our services, being a part of it, and then the services that we're doing in Brazil. But the power of God that was so present in that room yesterday, I had an opportunity to minister. They each wanted some private ministry. And I sat with the young man that had been all over the world in the last 20 years, and China, lived years in China and Vietnam, and now he's here in the United States doing his IT work for a company. And he was going through a particular crisis, and we talked about that crisis. The mind of Christ started coming to me, and I began to talk to him about what the Lord would say concerning that. But then the most important part was that he made a commitment to come back to God and to get surrender his life. And I said, are you filled with the Spirit? Well, you know, I kind of have maybe spoke once or... But I don't know. He said, my mind, he was brilliant, I could tell. He said, my mind gets in my way a lot of times, and I don't know about this language that you can't understand. And here's a man that probably could speak 3 or 4 languages. And I said, let's not think about the language. Let's talk about the baptism of God filling you up, and let's see what happens as a result of that. And I laid my hands on him, and... as you can well expect, the presence came. He began to speak in that unknown language as it began to flow out of his spirit. Then he's an athletic guy. He's sitting there, and so I've got the air conditioner on right over him, and he's like, is it hot in here? I'm sweating. Is this the way it's supposed to be? I feel warm all over. I said, that's the Holy Ghost on you. Each one of them had their place. We would minister, I would minister. One standing for healing for someone dear to them. A miracle of concerning cancer. Other things concerning family. But what I'm telling you is that These men were here, there for a couple of hours and left, two and a half hours. But the presence of God came in such a powerful way. And it's because of what is being created in here and there, because we're going into a place that we've never been before. Intercessors, this is your hour. This is your hour. What happens behind the scenes in your private prayer time, what you're doing creates not only the atmosphere for here, but it's the success. There's no success for the young adults conference coming up unless somebody prays. There's no success for these services unless somebody prays. There's no success in our life going forward. Well, it's all about revival with you. No, it's all about you. This sets your life free. This heals your homes. This heals your marriages. The God equation has to be in everything. This heals your body. This heals your finances. This straightens out your emotional difficulties. This causes you to be a better mommy, a better daddy, a better... We're going in, and we know our assignment, don't we? We know our assignment. Please, Amber, Davey, whoever's over there, I thank God for, you know, it's went through stages. I remember Candy had our little one. She was over there. And then Gay, and she was over there. And Delia, you know, they all had their years that they've spent. And the mommies kind of migrate with the children. But keep putting in them. Immokalee is in revival. With every Bible story, Immokalee is in. This region has an outpouring. Well, what does an outpouring mean to us? What does it mean to you? What does it mean? What is a revival? See, there's basically four thought processes on the end times or the coming of the Lord and the church at the end of the world. One, you really kind of belong in one of these, whether you know it or not, or maybe you're transcending a couple of them. One is the kingdom now people, which believe, and please don't write me any like, well, this is my position. I don't care what your position is. It's okay. It's okay. Keep it and store it away. And the kingdom now people are the people that like believe that we're going to progressively, the earth is going to get better and better and better through the gospel and through us taking over the earth. And eventually we'll bring back Christ in a kingdom position of authority. And you know by the word that's not going to happen, right? You know that that's not. But there is a truth in that we are supposed to take our authority. Then there is the pre-rapture. The word rapture, of course, is not in the Bible, but the pre-catching away people. And they believe that the way they see it from the word is that we're going to be all caught up before it gets too terribly bad at the beginning of the tribulation, Antichrist coming, before he really takes power. Now, the problem with that is oftentimes the mindset is this. Everything's just kind of going to, I was going to say something, but there's little kids and it might be interpreted that I'm cursing and I'm not. I was going to say everything's going to someplace in a handbasket. But you know what I mean. In other words, the barn is burning, the house is on fire, and there's too many rooms on fire to put anything out. So just get everybody out of the house as quickly as you can and let's get out of here. So that's one thought process. Like, it's really going to, and there's no, that kind of thought process is, there's no need to vote. There's no need to stand against evil, because it's just all going to keep going that way anyway. And as a result, just let's try to train as many people as we can to get the last part of everybody saved and go to heaven. Then there's the mid-trib, which he comes 3.5 years in. And I can see a lot of, they've got a good argument on that. You read through Daniel and then you read into to Revelation, there is definitely some 3.5 year marks that are significant. But we won't talk much about that. So that was like halfway through, just before everything gets super bad, we get caught up. And then there's the full trib people that we're going all the way through 7 years. But let me just talk. I've got to read this. Robert, you're doing a good job. And you're doing a good job staying with me. This isn't the sermon today, but it's probably working itself towards that. Listen to what, this is what Paul said. What kind of approach should you have in any dispensation, in any of the four that I just named, or any kind of end time world situation? Now, I will remind you that Paul the apostle lived at a time under a total totalitarian type dictatorship government. In other words, Caesar was God. You didn't have to be brought before a Senate to be killed or crucified or whatever. I mean, just at his whim, you know. You can't have the Antichrist will have no more power than Caesar had. He had total power, and he was persecuting the Christians. At least when it came to Nero, there were several Caesars, but when it came to Nero and Paul. And Paul's writing to Timothy, but listen to what Paul said. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And Paul said this, just listen. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, he names four things here, four categories, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that, now watch this, listen, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'll read this second verse again. For kings, that we, the prayers, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for who? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What does that mean? That means that this, that as long as we're in the earth, no matter what scenario you could describe, we are to pray, and our prayers will always make a difference. It'll always make a difference. Some have the thought process, well, the Antichrist comes in the earth and, oop, he X's out our authority. Listen, as long as there's one of us on planet earth, Christ has a seat of authority on the earth. Amen. If there's just one of us, that means we still get to have an effect on governments. We still have to get, I don't know how all of that works exactly, but I do know this, as long as there's any part of the body of Christ still on the planet, we're supposed to. Paul in his day said, his head got chopped off. And yet he said to the body of Christ, pray, because your prayers can make a difference as in bringing peace. Why do you want peace? So the gospel can be preached. For this is a good, who will have all men to be saved and come to the... God can move even in horrible crisis. Even with terrible things, we're not a bunch that says the barn's burning, the house is on fire, grab the kids and what valuables we have and let's get out of here. Who are we? We're those who stand in these last days and say, we got an appointment. We're going home, but we're going to have an effect on everything. We're going to have an effect in government. We're going to have effect. Listen, vote not only for the president of the United States, vote right on down. If you get a chance to vote for a good dog catcher, you vote him in. You make your stand because we have living proof that in the midst of a horrible time, Paul said, our prayers can still make a difference. You love that red, white, and blue with all your heart because as you do, you'll pray for the peace and the safety and the reconciliation of the nation and racism and all those things. It's not the divorcing from patriotism that causes you to be a better Christian. It's knowing that you go into God. Listen, if you're spending more time in studying government and politics and CNN and NBC and ABC and Fox News and all that stuff, then you are reading the word. You're out of balance. But then again, we're supposed to be making a difference. I don't care if the Antichrist comes to his full seat. We can still change things on the planet as long as we live on the planet. It's not like we just pulled all of our authority out. We're not running from a burning house or a burning barn. We've got influence in the earth. And I'll tell you something else too. You can like, and I'm not... You can like, dislike. You can say he's a bigot. He's a this. He's a fascist. You can say anything you want to about President Donald Trump. But I can tell you this: in his appointment, in those 4 years that he served, heaven, I can promise you, heaven records that he put in 3 Supreme Court justices. And if he hadn't have put in the 3rd one, what I'm about to tell you wouldn't have worked. It took 5. You know 5 is more than 4, right? There's 9 Supreme Court justices. It took 5 to overturn Roe versus Wade. And when you understand that's the umbrella law. That doesn't affect... There's still abortion in our nation. I understand that. Don't give me that. But it pulls the federal authority off, and then it gives a ranking ability or a ongoing ability to decide things state by state. And some states have really doubled down on this, which is good. But he, in his tenure, put in 3 Supreme Court justices that if he hadn't have got the 3rd one in, because there was one descending dissent, or in other words, one of the so-called conservative Supreme Court justices voted to keep. It was a 5-4 vote. That's all it came down. And one of our conservatives turned rogue on us and said, no, I won't. I'll go with the liberals. So the 3 that Mr. Trump put in now are saving thousands and thousands. And eventually, the longer it goes, and I know it's still a state by state, but what he did is saving eventually millions of babies' lives. You don't think that heaven, I'm sorry, you don't think that there, whether he's saved, not saved, you don't think that God the Father doesn't say, salute you on that one. And he knew what he was doing. He knew it wasn't just a Republican thing. He knew that these guys will vote to help overturn Roe versus Wade. So this exhortation is not about politics. It's about us fighting evil. Paul said, you pray. That scripture right there is telling you, no matter what situation you're in, don't turn and say, oh, it's too much. I'm not even going to vote. I'm not even going to fight. I'm not even going to. No, you fight for everything. You just like you fight for your home, you better fight for your home. You better fight for your marriage. You better fight for your life. I've been having this for a long time, but no, not really. I don't have anything. Are you speaking to it? Now, you might not have the prayer life or the time. I understand that. But as you're driving, mommies, daddies, as you're driving, are you praying in tongues? Are you speaking out loud? Hallelujah. See, listen, you know this. You're so, you know, I appreciate you so much. I try to give you the heads up of where you're coming to, because that way you're able to make a valuable decision. Do I want to go there for the next 10 years, or maybe I don't? But we are a church that's headed towards an outpouring, along with other sister churches and those that are watching. But here's the thing. We're after, this is what we're after. You okay up there, Robert? You're doing good. He's getting the workout. We're after, what's our job description? Well, it's real clear. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not like, God, what do you want me to do? I don't understand. What was I born for? I know exactly what I was born for. I'm real sure on that. I'm just perfectly sure on that. And you are too. But see, here's the exactness of it. We have prophecies by the word, and then we have subsequent prophecies that have come to us, present day speaking prophecies that say, look, what's coming is a duplicate of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The same works that I did, you'll do also. Now, I know it sounds fantastic. I know, my brain sometimes goes tilt. I know it sounds fantastic, but listen, we're not going to lower the bar. What's the bar? The bar is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The bar is that every time he prayed, and he prayed, anyone that ever came before him, they all got healed. They all got healed. We're not going to lower the bar. We're not going to say, and listen, souls, they're right now, there's a tide waters. We're stepping into a little bit of a tide water right now because the revival's starting. And it's mostly talking about presence and souls. That's wonderful. But I can tell you this. I've done a lot of study in the last 25 years. I've read this Bible a whole heaping bunch. It's kind of like the only thing I do most of the time. And what I found out about this is that salvation and miracles are the same thing. In other words, you cannot separate salvation and miracles. The same God that got you born again wants you saved. Do you think it's any easier for me to say? They said, you're blaspheming saying, you just heal this guy. This paralytic told him to get up, walk. He said, first of all, your sins are forgiven. They said, oh, you're blaspheming God. They let him down through the roof. Son, your sins are forgiven. He said, you're blaspheming God. He goes, no. Which is easier? In other words, it's all one and the same. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or take up thy bed and walk? What he was saying is this. The same power that birthed you into the kingdom is the same power that should be rampant in the body of seeing major miracles all the time, every time. Hallelujah. There's no difference, and we're not going to lower the bar. We're not going to say, oh, see, right now I cry all the time about all these different moves, people being born again, people, you know, presence. But we're not going to stop until we have the fullness. The fullness is the works that I did, you'll do also, and greater, because I go to the Father. this outpouring is going to be no less than the book of Acts. And we've got good word that it's going to exceed the book of Acts. Glory be to God. It's going to exceed all those major... Hey, get ready for people's legs to grow out. And I'm not talking about the legs already there and then they grow out 3 or 4 inches. I'm talking about no legs, no limbs. You're talking about... You're stupid, Pastor. This is not going to happen. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. Surely as I live, it's going to happen. It's the kingdom of God. If that can't happen, how do I know I'm saved? Because the same thing can open the blind eyes that God had you birthed into the kingdom. This glory to God. Woo! If he's not down in your toes, glory be to God. Jesus. When they traveled the old west, they would come down, launch out of the Midwest when they would make those wagon trains. And I studied it that there'd be a usually they like to have at least 100 wagons in one train. And they would jump off probably in St. Louis or someplace Midwest trying to work towards California. You'd buy all the supplies you could. Exchange of mules or oxen. And it would take them 6 months at least. 6 to 8 months to go from Midwest. If you were wanting to move to California, this is before locomotive or anything. Can you imagine being one of those pioneers? 6 months. They'd make it about 8 to 12 miles a day. Then they'd camp at night, gathering all of the animals of people, and they'd circle, they really would circle the wagons and kind of gave them a sense of security. And 6 to 8 months it would take them to get from Midwest all the way to California or Oregon. A lot of them are going to Oregon, Washington State. 6 to 8 months. And that's all they knew. That's all they knew. Just 8 to 12 miles a day. Most of the men would walk. All those thousands of miles. Can you imagine going to one of those pioneers? If you could be transported in time or whatever, can you imagine going to one of those pioneers and saying to them, how long you been on this? Well, 4 months. We only got 2 more months to go. We're going to cross the Rockies and then we're going to be home stretch. We're so excited. Okay, can I tell you something that you're not going to believe? Go ahead. The hour will come here in America. You may not see it, but see, we're going to see this. You may not see it, but the thousands of miles, the 6 months it took you, 8 months it took you to cross, you're going to be able to, human beings are going to be able to get on a apparatus or a something man-made. We call it airplanes. He wouldn't have understood that. In about 3 hours, we're going to cross from where you started at, and we're going to land in Los Angeles, California, or San Francisco, or Tacoma, Washington, or someplace in we can do this whole trip in about 3 hours. He'd have said, "There's no way." He'd have thought you're crazy. No, we one day, 3 hours, human beings will be able to do what it took you in 8 months to do. No way. Listen, can I put it this way? The spiritual technology has come to us now. What is impossible with our natural minds is about to start taking place. We're going to start seeing things like we've never seen before. we're going to experience things. Why? Because we're not just, thank God for people that are getting people born again. And that's part of it. Thank you, Jesus. And that's going to be part of ours as well, the harvest. But listen, we're not going to lower the bar. We're not going to say, woo, we've got a lot saved. This is revival. No, it's not revival until one of my closest friends gets healed. Don't you come in with your revival. Revival, we've got it. We finally got it. No, I'll turn and look and I got a high water mark and it's not revival. Because the same works he did. Jesus. Jesus. Okay, come lead us in some confessions. You at home and you here, I know the kids haven't gone, but it's just a different, they're really being good and they're being good. Gate, come and lead us in some confessions. Those of you at home, we're gonna confess over what every one of us believes. The high water mark of revival. We're going to fight until the end. I don't care if it's tribulation or non-tribulation. We're going to make a difference. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Father, your glory fills every service. Every person that comes drinks of your glory. We leave as earthen vessels, filled with your glory, filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, filled with your grace, and anointed by your Spirit. We carry your presence with us. We carry revival around this world. Father, we declare, we preach your gospel. We never settle for man's gospel, only yours. It's the gospel that saves, the gospel that fills, the gospel that heals. And that's why we say, lost, be saved. Empty, be filled. Blind, see. Sick, be healed. Lame, walk. Deaf, hear. Dumb, speak. Maimed, be whole. Dead, live. In the name of Jesus. Father, that's your gospel. We settle for nothing less. We are going for the gold. We have what we say. And we say at every service, the lost are saved. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. The sick are healed. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear, the dumb speak, the maimed are made whole, and even the dead are raised. In the name of Jesus. Father, you are a provider. Angels have been dispatched to gather in all of the finances, property, facilities, and everything necessary for this revival. Therefore, we say, there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all, and we abound with many baskets left over. Our financial granaries are full because our King has found stewards that he can trust, and I am one of them. Father, if you need anything I have, come to my house first. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant, a son of the living God. Lord, I lay all my possessions at your feet. We declare every captive to be free, every wheelchair emptied, every artificial help, they may need them when they come. They won't need them when they leave. We'll have them here as trophies to the glory of Jesus, our healer. All manner of sickness are healed. First time, every time, all of them, no exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You heal them all now. That's what we say. That's what we have. In your name, Jesus. Father, there are impartations of your Spirit in this place. We declare these are the most powerful, the most anointed, the most life-changing, the most revival-producing services in history. Fresh anointings, fresh giftings like never before. Father, it is you doing the works. Therefore, all things are possible. Soul, my soul, I command you, believe this. All things are possible. Soul, my soul, I command you, believe this. Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't settle. Don't settle. Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, don't settle. Saith the Spirit of Grace, don't settle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John shall return. You shall live the second book of Acts. A second Pentecost is coming. Oh, let us wait. Church, let us wait on him. Let us give our whole lives. We've been bought with a price. Don't settle. Don't settle. Let's go all the way in. All the way. Let's double down. Let's double down. Oh, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, word of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you just lift your hands and receive that word of the Lord? We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I know what time it is. It's 11:30, and I'm going to respect rather than, but there's just a little more here, and I know the kids probably can hardly take it much further. They're doing really, really good. So at least for the next 30 minutes, we're going to let them go next door. Let me give you an opportunity, folks. Those of you that are giving online, thank you so much. You're helping us. And those of you in here, your faithfulness is helping us. I want to pause right now. Let me take you back for a moment. What did we just hear? What did we just hear from the Lord? We did our confessions. And the Lord just said that we are to wait on him, that we're to tarry. There's a second book of Acts experience. Do not settle. There's another Pentecost. That same power and fire that came. Well, I think we need to just worship God for a minute. We need to honor the Holy Ghost. Let's honor the Holy Ghost. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, Holy Ghost. We honor you, Holy Spirit. 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 Yes, Lord. Come in ways that we've never known before. Let your virtue and your healing power. So we're just going to do this. We're going to change things. Because I see his direction. Hearing. So there won't be any service tonight. We've had confessions and we're going to tarry here for a little bit. It's 11:30. I'm going to ask you, as many of you as will, to tarry in his presence with us for at least the next half hour in worship. Robert, can you take it that long? You're tough. Hallelujah. We're going to sit in God's presence before you leave the building, or when you leave the building. We're going to have an offering basket in the back. If for some reason you have to go, I know the kids probably need to go next door for the next 30 minutes. And if they have to, whatever needs to take place, that's fine. If people have to leave even before, that's fine. But let's go to at least the 12 o'clock hour in worship and just honor the Holy Spirit in what he just said. And if he takes it past that, he'll take it past that. But I'm going to pray. You're going to be officially just put in the hands of the Lord. So your going and coming is up to you. Now, please consider something giving as you leave today. Father, right now, we will honor what you said, and we will just wait in your presence. We love you, Holy Ghost. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. This region is in revival. Amen. God bless you. Little ones, if you need to go next door for a little bit, that's fine. Slip out quietly. Hallelujah.